This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, the first program of the year. It's 2020, and that means we've been doing this well. We've been doing this since 1988, the previous century, and we're going to keep on doing it in 2020. We've got lots of information to share with you today. You can call us. Our number is 877-726-8255. We always enjoy our audience participation, but also keep in mind that number is 24/7, and you can record a question, say on Wednesday night at 11:45. You decide you have a burning question that you'd like to pose to me. You can go and call 877-726-8255 and record your question or comment, and we'll air it on a subsequent program. It's been a great vacation for me. I've taken a little bit of time off, and that means a lot of pent-up demand in terms of the stories I want to share with you, so we'll have lots of information to get out to you. Among the big stories towards the end of the year, this is a huge story. Because in the usually conservative pages of the New England Journal of Medicine, which are devoted to medicines and surgical procedures and obscure diseases, things that may be of little consequence for you, our listeners, there was a big article on intermittent fasting. Yeah, in the pages of the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Mark Mattson, who's a Johns Hopkins Medicine neuroscientist who himself adopted intermittent fasting 20 years ago, was asked to provide a scientific review for the rationale for intermittent fasting. So lots of buzz around that subject as we enter 2020. It's the new diet buzzwords, IF and TRF. IF stands for intermittent fasting. TRF stands for time-restricted feeding. And what it's all about is a form of caloric restriction that's a little less onerous than weighing your food and looking at tables to calculate your caloric intake. It means you can pretty much eat what you want, but you restrict the time period in which you eat the food. There are variations on the theme. Intermittent fasting is sometimes cast in the 5-2 mold, where one 500 to 700 calorie meal is eaten on 2 days per week. That's pretty draconian, 500 to 700 calories. But the suggestion is that on the off days, you can pretty much eat what you like. You can't just eat a lot of junk. You got to eat a healthy diet. But the other variant is to eat by the clock. And I must say that when I'm left to my own devices, when I take some time off from work or on the long weekends, or when I take some time off when I'm not doing the show, I typically get up, and I get up fairly early. I'll get up, when sleeping in for me is sleeping till 7:30. But typically I'll get up at 6 or 6 and change. And I'll read a little bit, and I'll stretch a little bit, and then I'll go exercise. And I revert usually to an eating pattern where I try not to eat till about 11. And then I have a hearty breakfast, and usually I need to have a lunch, and then I have a dinner, and I try to have that dinner before 8 o'clock, which constitutes about a 16-8 program, 16 hours of not eating and 8 hours of allowed eating. This guy, Dr. Mark Mattson, talks about the scientific rationale for this. And in this article in the New England Journal of Medicine, it's quite remarkable. He talks about how when you restrict food, either time-wise or when you have one very light meal a couple of days a week, you build up levels of ketones. Yeah, that's like the keto diet, which is the other popular diet trend for 2020, in which you restrict carbs and you mimic starvation because fats as a source of calories turn into ketones, and that creates a kind of a metabolic switch, which allows the brain to use ketones instead of carbohydrates, which seems to be better for brain function and memory function. Besides, not eating triggers a process called autophagy, which is a big buzzword in nutrition science these days, which means that the body undertakes a bit of a cleanup process simply by resting or not eating. It consumes itself. That is the meaning of autophagy. You burn fat, and your body undertakes a cleanup process, which is very, very helpful for cellular repair and also may reduce inflammation and certainly can curb insulin resistance, which is the cause of obesity and type 2 diabetes. You can lose weight. You can improve your blood sugar regulation. You can improve your lipid profile. You can reduce inflammatory markers and make your body more resistant to stress. And this is sort of some more like, in some ways, what paleo man did. We would have times where plenty of food was available. We'd come in with some fresh mammoth meat, or maybe fell a paleo elk, and there'd be a big chow down. And then other times, less food would be available, and people would undertake a bit of a fasting regimen. And that's natural. That's the way we were biologically programmed. These days, however, we're encouraged to have three meals plus lots of snacks. It turns out that one-third of all the calories consumed by the average American adult are now made up of snacks. That amounts to more than 600 daily calories for men and around 500 calories for women. And that's a lot of added calories. The other thing we do is we drink our calories in forms that are very unpaleo, cola drinks and fruit beverages and energy drinks that are calorie-laden, and those artificial beverages that are zero-calorie are not very much better because they've not been shown to lower weight. Their artificial ingredients mess up our intestinal makeup. And so what happened to water, our natural way of sating our thirst? It turns out that when you drink your calories, it's kind of a Trojan horse for added calories into our diets. So this intermittent fasting and time-restricted feeding, these are really going to be the dietary buzzwords for 2020. Lots of people undertaking these programs. And it takes a little fortitude because initially you're going to feel some deprivation. And you got to just use what I have dubbed my mantra, which I encourage people to recite, which is, hunger is my friend. Just repeat after me, hunger is my friend. A little bit of hunger means your body is burning down fat and consuming itself in a process called autophagy, and you'll get used to it. And unpleasant as it may seem, nobody dies. You may experience a little bit of deprivation and unpleasantness and feel a little hangry, But after a while, those feelings dissipate. You get used to it. Your body adjusts. And this is a program that can help you lose and maintain your weight loss over long periods of time. So gradually do it. You know, don't plunge into it willy-nilly. You'll be frustrated and you'll blow your New Year's resolution. But if you gradually cut back a couple of days a week, or if you prefer, try the 16-8 program, or if you need more radical change, the 18-6 program, if you need to lose a lot of weight or if you're diabetic, this could make a big difference in your weight and your health in 2020. 877-726-8255. Call us if you're considering trying that or if you want to share your New Year's resolution. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. Are you looking to give your immune system a boost? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory, and also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean and produces it in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman.
Decades ago, Dr. O'Hara developed a formula for optimal human health, a blend of superfoods and live bacteria, naturally fermented for 3 years, encapsulated to deliver prebiotics, probiotics, and most importantly, postbiotics to your digestive system, aiding digestion, increasing absorption of essential nutrients, supporting the immune system, and unleashing the healthier, happier you. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics, 100% vegetarian, non-GMO, free of artificial additives, chemicals, preservatives or colorings, dairy and gluten-free. Dr. O'Hara himself proclaimed in 1974, each capsule of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is filled with our passion and hope for bringing health and long life to all 7 billion people on Earth. And today his legacy lives on, making Dr. O'Hara's probiotics a world leader in superior probiotics. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, available online and at natural health retailers nationwide.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you in the new year. It's 2020, and I want to wish you all a very happy new year. And we invite your phone calls, 877-726-8255. Let's take a call from Martin in Westchester. How you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Hoffman. How are you doing? I went for blood work up with my doctor, and he says my creatine level was 1.38. And he says for my age, that's normal. And my EGFR was 51. He says it's all to do with my age. I mean, what do you think about this?
What is your age, first of all? How old are you?
I'm 76 years old.
Okay. So, let's explain what that is. You know, creatine is something that's measured in a blood test. It's part of a standard metabolic panel. Used to be called the SMA-12 or the SMA-18. And you get two tests that relate to your kidney function. One is the BUN, or the BUN, and that's the blood urea nitrogen. The other one is the creatinine. And the creatinine reflects, and both of them actually reflect your kidney's filtration ability. And based on an equation, they come up with your glomerular filtration rate. The E means your estimated glomerular filtration rate. And people who are in trouble have an EGFR of 20 or less. That means that they're on the cusp of kidney failure, and they might eventually be candidates for dialysis. It's typical for, you know, young, healthy college football players to have an EGFR that's, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100. People as they age, their filtration ability declines. I mean, it's part of the natural decline of the body. And a 1.38 is a little borderline, but when you do the calculation, the eGFR is 50, which is really quite reasonable. I wouldn't worry about it. You don't have high blood pressure, Martin? Do you have elevated blood pressure? Okay, so you, and are you on a very high protein diet? Sometimes that can increase your creatinine.
I do sometimes. If I want to do a little exercise, I try to take some extra protein.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and sometimes that can actually load your kidneys a little bit. It doesn't mean you're in kidney failure. It just means that the waste products of protein metabolism sometimes build up. People who take the dietary supplement creatine can sometimes have a falsely elevated creatinine. The two words sound similar. But, you know, I wouldn't worry about it. I think that's fine.
Thank you very much for your advice.
Yeah, just keep an eye. You know, your doctor's going to monitor it. I mean, the concern is to look at trends. I mean, if successively the tests, you know, it's 1.45, then 1.56, and then, it, you know, there's an upward creep, then something's wrong. But it's quite likely that on a repeat test, your number will be lower. And, oh, by the way, some people make a mistake when they go for a blood test. They're told to fast. So they don't drink any water, they don't eat anything, they skip breakfast, they show up completely dehydrated, and that can actually concentrate the blood, make the blood thicker, but it also concentrates all the other metabolites in the blood. And then your creatinine appears higher than it should be, and the BUN may be higher than it should be, and that really can distort things. All right, if you're looking to give your immune system a boost, here's a tip. And, you know, who isn't trying to get their immune system to work more efficiently during this challenging winter season? It's a natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, liquid wild oil of oregano with rosemary extract and natural honey flavor. Future Farm's wild oil of oregano supports a variety of health benefits, including antimicrobial effects, as well as supporting the immune system. Plus, Future Farm is the first ever to formulate wild oil of oregano with rosemary. Rosemary aids circulation, helps alleviate muscle pain, improves memory. It also gives your immune system a boost. The natural honey flavor enhances the taste while still giving you all of the benefits. Future Farm sources this product from the Mediterranean. You know about all the benefits of the Mediterranean diet. Well, this oregano and rosemary are part of it. And they produce in the United States. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's Future Farm, PHARM, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Wild oil of oregano is all natural, science-based, and works without adverse side effects. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. All right. More of your phone calls, more information coming your way. We'll talk about how protein can attenuate your cravings and reduce your appetite in just a moment. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you know that fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, that support your cardiovascular, brain, nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. My preferred fish oil brand is Carlson. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to store. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity. I use Carlson myself, recommend it to my patients, and I've included Carlson in the Intelligent Medicine Protocol Starter Kit, available on my website, drhoffman.com. Carlson award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing pills. For more information, go to www.carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. Why are you always hungry? Well, the answer might lie with something called the protein leverage hypothesis, which we will visit for you in just a moment. But first, 877-726-8255, we got a call from Maddie in Long Island. How are you, Maddie?
Hi, good, Dr. Hoffman. I had a pain that was felt like it was going to be appendicitis, mm-hmm. and I had it about 3 months ago, and I went to my gynecologist, and he said it's probably muscular. Doesn't seem anything. He said if it doesn't go away in 2-3 weeks, you know, call me back. It went away after 2 weeks, and then it came back right before Christmas, and I called my gastroenterologist. And I saw him. He says, this is right near your appendix. I don't know what the heck this is. Let's get a CAT scan, which I got. I got this with everything. And it came back that it was in my large intestines. It's non-cancerous. It's a thickening and irritation about 5 inches long, 4 or 5 inches long. And he
so this is with a CAT scan? With a CAT scan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't want to, but I didn't think I had a choice.
Right.
So he put me on amoxicillin with potassium to supercharge
But wait a minute. You know, okay, so you never had a colonoscopy to see if you actually...
I did two and a half years ago.
2.5 years ago. Okay. So, but, you know, maybe something's going on now. I mean, I guess the doctor wants to spare you a colonoscopy. So he says, well, I'll just give you an antibiotic. So what did the antibiotic do, if anything?
Well, it's day 8 of the antibiotic. I didn't think it would do anything. It helped a little bit. I'm not sure it hurts on exercise.
Yeah, we're sort of shooting blanks here. I mean, it's kind of like a blind therapy here. You know, we don't even know what we're treating. We'll wing an antibiotic at you. You know, maybe you'll feel better. Really, it's kind of imprecise here, because you may have, irritable bowel. You may have even colitis. It's unclear precisely what you have. I mean, if I were treating you, it sounds like I have treated you in the past because I recognize your voice, Maddie. I would do something called the specific carbohydrate diet, the SCD. Mm-hmm. Which is helpful for both irritable bowel and colitis. I would take a dietary approach. So get the book. You got the book.
I actually called in to speak to Layla about that.
Oh, great. Yeah, our nutritionist at my office. Okay, and that is something that you should try and give it about 90 days and see if it calms things down. But it sounds like if the discomfort persists, the next step is to do a colonoscopy and look up there and see precisely what's going on. I mean, no, you don't have something horrible like cancer, thank goodness. That's pretty much ruled out. But you may have colitis. But you may also have, you know, just good old-fashioned IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, which could respond to a dietary change. You know, that might be all it takes. Amoxicillin, kind of a weird choice for a drug to treat that. Wouldn't be my first choice because I got to tell you that amoxicillin for a lot of people causes wicked diarrhea and may worsen irritable bowel syndrome. Not sure what the doctor was thinking in this circumstance other than just, you know, we'll try, you know, take a shot, you know, use
Dr.
the antibiotic.
Hoffman?
Maybe you'll be better. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't want to put me on it, he wanted to put me on Cipro, but I can't take that.
Okay, so it's an alternative to Cipro. Yeah.
Yeah,
Cipro is a horrible medication because the side effects of that can really be devastating, so probably preferable. Yeah, you know, about as far as we can go with the information we have. So, you know, try the diet, talk to Layla, our nutritionist. If it's not better, get a colonoscopy and see what's going on up there. All right? Thanks for your call, and a very happy new year to you. All right, this item has to do with why it is that people just keep on eating and eating and eating, and they don't feel full, and they gain a lot of weight. And it also may explain the benefits of a low-carb diet. It's a controversial hypothesis. It's called the protein leverage hypothesis. And I'll sum it up for you by saying that the protein leverage hypothesis states that human beings will prioritize the consumption of protein in food over other dietary components. So if you eat a steak, what's the steak? The steak is mostly protein with some fat. You're going to get a lot of protein, and you'll satisfy your protein quotient. But let's say you have, and this is a pretty good example, because you put a bowl of spaghetti in front of me. I'm going to eat like three bowls. You know, I'll stop myself at three bowls, but it's going to take some willpower. Maybe it's got a meat sauce, but just a little bit of meat and a lot of tomato sauce and a lot of starch. And I'm going to eat it and eat it and eat it. And it's hard to stop. So it says that you prioritize the consumption of protein and food over other dietary components, and you will eat until protein needs have been met, regardless of energy content. And I outline and I underline regardless of energy content. And what that leads to is the overconsumption of foodstuffs when their protein content is low. And this particular hypothesis has been put forward as the basis for our current obesity epidemic. And it also helps to explain why it is that people on low-carb diets tend to lose weight, because they meet their protein requirement on the low-carb diets. They don't need the carbs, and they stop eating. They simply achieve satiety with protein and fat. And this is also the problem with ultra-processed foods, foods that are cheap and caloric. And of all the ingredients among foodstuffs, protein is the most expensive, and it's something that we have a basic need for to maintain our cellular metabolism and to repair our bodies and to maintain growth and overall functioning. So there you have it. That's the protein leverage hypothesis. Make use of that in your dietary decisions. What about this item? Did you feel kind of rushed before the end of the year? I certainly did, because all the year-end tax decisions and making those contributions and writing checks. And then you look in the mailbox, all of a sudden, everybody decides to send me a bill. Your tax is due. Your insurance is due. Well, you know, I'm trying to use brinksmanship to make it to the end of the year, and then it's like, okay, the doormen and the guys at the garage and all the people at the office, and pretty soon you're feeling kind of harried, but you got to make it before the end of the year for tax purposes, or you know, just because of the holidays, you got to go out and get a lot of gifts. You want to join in the holiday celebrations, go to a lot of parties. It's a tough time of year. So did deadlines affect your work? Well, to an extent that may be really dangerous, it might have affected the work by the Food and Drug Administration, the supposed watchdogs over the medications that you will be using in 2020. There's something called PDUFA. PDUFA, the Prescription Drug User Free Act, which imposes deadlines for the completion of drug reviews by the Food and Drug Administration. So just like kids doing their homework right before the term paper is due or before the test, the FDA pushes all their reviews towards the end of the year, but they're obliged to complete their reviews right before December 31st. So they did a study. They initiated this PDUFA thing at a certain time, January 1993, when these deadlines were first imposed. So they studied what happened to drug approvals after the PDUFA was approved in January 1993. And the fate of the drugs that were approved, presumably in a rush, towards the end of the year. And what they found was that drugs approved immediately before the deadlines were associated with a higher rate of post-marketing safety problems, for example, withdrawals, but also black box warnings, than drugs approved at other times. Drugs approved in the 2 months before their PDUFA deadlines were more likely to be withdrawn for safety reasons, 5.5 times more likely. They were more likely to carry a subsequent black box warning, 4.5 times more likely. And they were more likely to have one or more dosage forms voluntarily discontinued by the manufacturer, 3 times more likely. So it suggests that their conclusion, PDUFA deadlines have appreciably changed the approval decisions of the FDA. And they say that they approve these medications for clinical use, but after approval, the discovery of safety problems is more likely for drugs approved immediately before a deadline than for those approved at other times. So this is the nature of our drug approval system, folks. And it is prone to something that is universal, which is human error. The foibles of human beings sometimes can result in deadly problems for you, the consumer. Fascinating study. 877-726-8255 is our number. We got lots more to talk about. We'll talk about Red Hot Chili Peppers. No, not the group, but the food as a health food. And lots more on today's first of the year edition of Intelligent Medicine. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. As we age, forestalling and even reversing bone loss becomes more and more important. That's why I've created the Intelligent Medicine Bone Health Protocol, my personal supplement recommendations to ensure your skeletal health. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com. In addition to the Bone Health Protocol, you'll find easy-to-follow links from my supplement starter kit, Heart Health Protocol, and much more. As always, I strive to provide you with the tools you need to make informed choices beyond the cookie-cutter care of today's healthcare system, and these new protocols are an easy way for you to get the exact combination of targeted supplements you need to help you follow the intelligent medicine lifestyle. The same supplements I take myself and prescribe for my patients. And for a limited time, you'll get free shipping on all of your store orders. For more details, just go to drhoffmanstore.com. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
You're young at heart. Let's keep it that way. Stay feeling young with Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract, designed specifically to help support and strengthen your cardiovascular system as you age. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract was founded on scientific research and has been the subject of more than 800 research studies over the last 45 years, revealing its significant cardiovascular benefits. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract cardiovascular, blood pressure health, cholesterol, and circulation formulas are just a handful of the many Kyolic supplements that can help reduce the major risk factors of heart disease and promote overall heart health. Organically grown, Kyolic Garlic is aged up to 20 months, has no pungent odor, and is gentle on the stomach. Make a resolution today to stay young at heart and keep your cardiovascular system strong for years to come. Get Kyolic today. Available at fine natural health retailers nationwide.
To find the Kyolic formula right for you, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255. This hour or next hour or any hour, 24-7, even if we're not on the air, you can call this number and you can record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions a little later in today's program. By the way, a belated Happy New Year to you all. I hope you had a great holiday season. And could hot chili peppers help you live longer? Well, according to a recent study, the answer is yes. It's a big study. They looked at 22,811 people. And according to the authors of the study, capsaicin, which is the spicy ingredient in hot peppers, has been observed to favorably improve cardiovascular function and metabolic regulation in experimental and population studies. So in this study, they found that 24% of the participants consumed chili peppers 4 or more times each week. 33.7% consumed chili peppers either rarely or never. So they had a pretty good mix. And what they found was that regular consumption four or more times each week of chili pepper was associated with a 23% lower risk of all-cause mortality, as opposed to none or rare intake. And so you might say, well, you know, people eat chili peppers. That's kind of an exotic taste, so they probably ate a better diet. You know, maybe this is part of healthier food choices, right? Well, they adjusted for that. They controlled for diet quality, and they found that protection from dying was independent of the type of diet that people followed. In other words, someone can follow the healthy Mediterranean diet and eat chili peppers, or someone can eat the standard American diet, which is a lot of junk food, but still eat a lot of chili peppers. But for all of them, chili pepper had a protective effect. So they don't exactly know why it is that chili peppers are protective, but they found that regular consumers of chili peppers had a 34% lower risk of cardiovascular death than those who rarely consumed. So, you know, it's like if there was a drug that could reduce the risk of dying from heart disease by 34%, that would be a blockbuster drug. Statin drugs don't have that claim to fame by any means. They're not nearly as effective, according to this, as hot chili peppers. So there you have it. Put some spice in your life. This item has to do with a phenomenon that I've noticed is every time I go to a hospital, you know, I go to hospitals, hopefully not to get treated, but to hear lectures or I pass by hospitals because I live in New York City, and virtually on every corner in my part of town, there's a hospital. We call this Second Avenue and First Avenue, we call it Bedpan Alley in New York City. There's Beth Israel Hospital, and then there's Bellevue Hospital, and then there's NYU, and then there's Columbia Weill, and on it goes all the way up the street. But more and more hospitals are merging, and the net result is that for a lot of people who are not in concentrated population centers like New York, their hospitals are disappearing. They're having to travel further and further to get to a hospital, and this is a big problem in rural America. To get to a hospital, you need to go, you know, 60 miles or so to get to a major hospital. This is hospital consolidation, M&A, mergers and acquisitions. And the excuse for that is that it's economy of scale, is they don't, you know, all these funky little hospitals, community hospitals, and they can't offer good care. And, you know, you just want these big mega hospitals to take over and close down small hospitals so that people get treated at big, big monolithic hospital centers. Study the New England Journal of Medicine investigated this. They say that hospitals continue to turn to mergers and acquisitions to navigate tricky industry headwinds, including lower reimbursement and flatlining admissions as patients increasingly turn to alternate, cheaper sites of care. Okay, so it's about economics. That's why they're doing it. And it's, you know, it's a business thing. The study found that acquired hospitals saw moderately worse patient experience, along with no change in 30-day risk of dying or readmission. Your readmission rates are actually a pretty sensitive metric of hospital care, because if they kick you out and you end up having to come back within 30 days, they didn't do a particularly good job. So they say that this is further evidence that bigger isn't always better when it comes to hospitals, and it adds to a heap of previous studies showing provider mergers simply lead to higher prices for commercially insured patients, but don't improve patient satisfaction or patient care. So there you have it. You know, big medicine in the quest for efficiency, it not working out, not really working out as was intended. 877-726-8255. That's a number. Call us next hour for questions related to intelligent medicine. We got lots more to share with you, so stay with us. Happy New Year. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.